Hey guys, welcome back to Moms After Bedtime. I'm Mandy and I'm here with Megan.
Hey.
I feel like there just should be more names.
Somebody
after
else.
That. No offense, I enjoy this one-on-one time with you, but welcome back. Today we are talking all about how we plan our like structure and routine and how that makes our life easier. And we're throwing in some mom hacks as well. We've reached out to you guys for some of your opinions and we'll share some of those at the end of the episode. But before we do that, Megan, do you want to share your wine and cheese?
I'll start with my cheese. My cheese is that Eliza crawled for the first time.
Aww.
So, I mean, she can't get very far. And she belly flops when she does it. And it's pretty much mostly only for the dog toys. But but she did it. So.
Aww. That's so exciting.
Yeah. I mean, for all I know, she's been crawling at daycare for like 3 weeks. And I just don't know. But for us, it was that. The first time. It was actually yesterday, so it was when she actually turned 9 months old. We literally brought her home, and then she just crawled across the floor. We're like, aww. Oh, I guess that was convenient.
I feel like I don't remember when Isla started crawling. I feel like that's something that people are usually like, oh, my baby started crawling at blah, blah, blah. I just don't even remember. I remember when she started walking, but.
Yeah. I mean, like, she's been able to get herself moving around, mm-hmm. I guess I would say.
Like scooting.
Yeah, and like just rolling in a circle and getting where she wants to go. But like now she's actually going forward. So yeah, that was, she tried to eat a flip-flop already today. Mm. And so, yeah, so that's the whiny part about it. But she just, it's just weird. It's like in the last week, she's just starting to crawl. She's like developed a personality. She is saying mama and dada, but I don't 100% know if she like understands, you know.
Aww.
Like the connection. But yeah, so that's my cheese.
Cute.
My wine is really just that I already talked kind of about the school year. I think the episode before last episode. But this school year sucks so fucking bad. I'm so overwhelmed by class sizes because this is the most students we've ever had at our school. Mm-hmm. And our school is not designed to have that many students. Then they're all masked and you have COVID and you have kids who haven't been to real school in like 2 years now in a classroom of 25 kids. Mm-hmm. And you have kids who literally don't even know how to take notes. Like a kid, there were guided notes and someone raised their hand and was like, I really don't know what I'm supposed to be writing down. And I'm like, oh no. And so that part is just stressful because I feel a little helpless because I don't know how to help them when you have 25 kids in one classroom that are acting like fifth graders, but they're mm-hmm. supposed to be 10th graders. And like, honestly, it just feels like the apathy and opinions and quite frankly, like disrespect from the community, from some of the students. It's just a lot. And I know that I'm not the only educator feeling it. I know some people aren't having a bad year and some people are really excited that we're like back to normal, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. But I'm struggling a lot. It's like impeding on my entire life. I was like, just felt like physically sick this week because mm-hmm. I just am so overwhelmed. And I just don't know how much longer I can be a teacher if this is like what it is. And mm-hmm. that's sad and it sucks because I've devoted my whole career so far to this and I don't really know where else I would go and really what else I'm qualified to do. But I don't know. Something just has to give because I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. It just sucks. Like, I've just come home every single day this week and I've just cried because I just don't know what to do. Yeah. And so that's not fun when it bleeds over into your regular life. Mm-hmm. Teaching is kind of a thankless job anyway.
I feel like teachers have such a high burnout rate.
Yeah.
I feel like I've never heard of any other profession that like requires you to go get like a degree and like dedicate so much time to, where people just up and leave it because you are so burnt out and it is so thankless and the pay is bullshit. And
then it might be an unpopular opinion, but most of the time you have people who did not devote their entire life to education. They are not in this field, yet they think that they can make policies and decisions for the people who are in this field. Mm-hmm. So we're never seen as experts. And you know what? I'm fed up with it. Yeah. So that is that. Find me on LinkedIn at Brian keeps saying, like, it's okay, like, he'll get through it. And he'll, like, quote Glennon Doyle back to me. And it's not working. And, but yeah, so that's my wine.
Fun.
Yeah.
I feel like that kind of relates to my wine in a sense that I am going back to work next week.
Oh, yeah.
Next Monday, which is like a wine and a cheese. It's like bittersweet. I don't really know how to feel this time around. Whereas with Isla, I was like, Isla was a little bit longer. I was home with her for about 16 weeks just because of the way school vacations fell. And I was just ready. I also spent that entire maternity leave home alone with her. So I was just lonely and bored and a little burnt out, I think, just from babiness. And so I just was more than ready to go back, and I was excited to go back. This time around is a little different, and so I just don't know how to feel. Like, I don't know if I'm excited and happy, or I don't know if I'm scared or sad. I really don't know, because I'm, on one hand, yes, I've been home with Ren this whole time, but the first, 9 weeks of her being born, I also had Phil and Isla here with me. So it's just kind of like this big family time together. And then I really only got this last 3 weeks of just one-on-one time with just her. So that kind of makes me sad that, like, I'm going to have to give that up.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I am so insanely burnt out. Like, I have nothing left in me. I just can't, like, I think going to work is going to be good for me in a way of, like,
yeah,
getting out, getting some time away, being, like, immersed in something. But on the other hand, I'm terrified that I'm so burnt out that work is just going to burn me out even more. So I just don't, I don't know. I'm overwhelmed already because even though I'm on maternity leave, I get a million emails a day, and yeah, I agreed to work like one or two per diem days to get my schedule situated so that when I come back, I can hit the ground running. And I honestly regret doing that because now I'm expected to hit the ground running on Monday and I'm not ready to at all.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just scared. I'm not going to have time to like sit down and breathe. I don't know. So I just, I'm up. I don't know how to feel. I'm like, I'm sad, but I'm also happy. I'm excited, but I'm also nervous.
Yeah. I feel like it's sometimes it's harder to do something the second time around than the first time, because you kind of know what to expect when you go back, like,
yeah,
after maternity leave. But,
and this one's harder because I was only coming in a week or two late into the school year. Well, not a week, just like 3 weeks later into the school year, they didn't hire coverage for me. So like people are just sitting around twiddling their thumbs waiting for OT, which, so it's like all this kind of pressure of like me jumping in and fixing all these problems that have happened in the past 3 weeks. And
that's really hard for you, I feel.
And
like,
we have a lot of new students, a lot. And I've heard that they're just like, you know, students with a lot of needs that I'm going to have to come in and address. And it's just, it's just going to be a lot at once. And also, Monday I have breakfast duty. I've never done breakfast duty before. I don't know what to do. I'm supposed to walk in and just help these kids get their French toast sticks. I don't know. I'm not even supposed to be doing duties.
What
the fuck?
One time, well, one that reminds me, I don't remember what my duties are this year, and I should probably check that. Second, when I was doing my student teaching, I had to do lunch duty. But my student teaching, part of it was at a middle school, so it was 5 through 8. And there was a little fifth grader who, she came up to me and I was like, oh, do you need help opening that? And she was like, no, I just wanted to let you know that my bunny died 3 days ago. But I was like, my condolences.
That is elementary school in a nutshell.
Okay.
Enjoy your snack pack.
Yeah. I'm like,
bye.
My thoughts are with you. I don't know.
I don't normally have to do duties, but last year because of COVID, we were so short-staffed that I had to do bus duty. And I was like, fine, whatever, I'll do bus duty, which was
Sounds awful.
And it's that, but kids are expected to stand in a line at the end of the day after like holding it together all day. So they were just all psychos and whatever. Basically just hold the sign and walk outside and pray that none of them run to a road. But then now I'm expected to do breakfast duty first thing in the morning. I'm like, in breakfast duty, the kids just come in as they get on the bus and eat their food. Like, what am I supposed to do?
And when you have like a morning duty, because we have like a hallway duty where you just walk around with the walkie-talkie, whatever. That requires you to actually be there at a decent time.
I'm scared on Mondays, and the first Monday back ever, the first Monday that, like, I've been obviously getting both kids up and ready to bring to daycare, but there's like this thing of like, it's okay if I don't really get myself ready because I'm coming right back home after.
And when it's in real time, somebody is going to shit themselves at the last minute.
And then little Johnny's not going to get his syrup with his pancakes because I won't be there in time. What's going to happen?
That teacher that's like running in late with like wet hair and like, oh, sorry. Nothing. I haven't been that person before.
That was me this before week. I had kids, actually. Oh, God. But yeah, so that's my wine. You know, that's my wine is breakfast duty because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Yeah. any duty is
bullshit. No, pisses me off because I'm really not supposed to do them. But I also can't be that person who says, I'm not going to do it because they need my help. And what else am I good? I mean, there's plenty of other things I could be doing. But regardless, anyways, I digress. My cheese this week. I had a really good cheese in and it completely left my brain. But this one's also a good one. Today, I went with my mother-in-law to this cute little beach town near us in Kennebunk to a little like spiritual store. I always like, I'm super into like stuff like that. We all know that I love like my auras and all of that. And I have crystals, but I don't know a ton about them and I don't carry them around and like do a bunch of whatever with them. But my mother-in-law recently got into them. So she asked if I wanted to go and I was like, sure. And we just found this super cute little crystal place. And I bought like all these crystals. They're just like little gemstones, like nothing crazy. And this cute little like journal. It was called like Calm the Chaos or something. But like every day you mark like how you took care of yourself.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
Like what were the highlights of your day and then what you're looking forward to tomorrow. So it's kind of like a positivity.
Like gratitude kind of
cool. So it was just a cute little trip. Ren came with us, she slept most of the way. Bought some crystals, but
I used to be pretty into crystals. Oh, you guys have heard that story of when I threw the flowers into the ocean. Never mind, you already knew that, but no, it's cool. I don't know, it gives you something also if you're like into meditation and stuff like that. It gives you something to sort of like focus your attention on, even if it's like a tactile thing, I think personally. But you should call my dad because he like carries around crystals for different things, regardless of like what's going on. He always has like some kind of crystal in his pocket.
That's what I like. I want to be at that level that I know, I'm like, oh, let me get out my Jasper because I have a big day today. Like, I want to know those things. But
a lot of it like has to do with like Reiki. He's like a Reiki, whatever. But anyway. Master.
Yeah, I got a lot of them that had to do with like manifesting and like bringing
that's
good
cool.
energy and all that. But yeah. So
we have a cool shop here called the Rock and Art Shop. And I think you would love it because it's like a lot of like that kind of stuff. But also just like cute decorative kind of stuff. Like it's like kind of a mix of both, but they have cool things and like a thing of the month, like to go with the season and cool things to hold your crystals in and all that fun stuff. Yeah.
It was so cute being there today because first of all, it's called Zen and Company. Might as well shout them out. And I was there there's like this big like table with all these stones or whatever. So we were walking around it. It's right near the cash register. And the two girls working were like, oh my God, you would not believe the synchronicities that happened to me this weekend. And they were like having this like super spiritual like
conversation.
I'm like, oh, this is my place. I like it.
That's so funny. Yeah. At this place, I bought some for my dad for the holidays. They didn't even have to like, they literally could pick the stone up and look at it and be like, this is a citronite, $2.
When I was getting checked out, the girl was literally like, this is a beautiful piece of black tourmaline.
Yeah.
I'm like, you think so? Looks like a rock to me, but I'm excited.
Yeah. You have to be very, just the wealth of knowledge is like, whoa. Yeah. Wow. That's cool. Hopefully they work.
What's up? When I become rich and filled with abundance and happiness and joy and serenity and self-confidence, you're going to be like, damn.
Yeah, you won't even care about breakfast duty.
I'm going to fucking own breakfast. You know what? I'm going to bring my black tourmaline with me to move away all the negative energy of breakfast duty.
All the little kids are like, whoa! There's like a force field like around.
I walk in and they're like, oh, we didn't tell you. You don't have to do duties actually this year. Yeah. I'm like, oh, thank you. I manifested this actually. Thank you very much.
If only.
That's our mom hack. Manifestation. Buy your crystals and you don't have to do breakfast duty.
Yeah.
Let's jump into our topic today. So again, we're talking about things that we do to make our lives as moms a little bit easier. And we are going to dive into some like simple, fun little mom hacks, but I think we're going to focus first on like the importance of, for us, our personal like schedules and routines and how we just navigate mom life without completely losing our minds, although I'm on the verge, so I'll try my best.
I think I need this episode because I'm just crumbling.
We're like, listen to our advice.
Listen to us.
But we're dying over here.
I'm drowning. So I think in order to sort of start talking about this conversation, we have to sort of address that no matter what structure or routine you try to create in your life, if it doesn't like align with your goals and you don't truly like doing it, what's the point? Like in our evaluations, not to keep bringing up work, but in our evaluations at work, years ago, my boss was like, well, you need something like some kind of system where you are like reflecting on your lessons and blah, 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 because that's also part of the teaching standards or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I met with like a instructional coach and made this big thing, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, that's cool. You're never going to use that, Megan. And I'm like, but, and he's like, I know you're never going to use that. He's like, go back, figure out something that you're actually going to use. And so I did, and it was something simple. I have my lesson and then a little box underneath it. So I put it right in my, like, what am I going to do today? Then when I'm done, I just quick, never doing this again. But it's just like a simple thing. So then when I go back next year to look at my plans, it's right there for me to go, oh, yeah, that didn't go well. And then I can, like, it's just like a small example of structure, but if I had been doing it the other way, that was just so much work for me to create the structure, well, then what the hell's the point? Mm-hmm. Like, my boss was so right. I'm never going to use that. I used it for like a day and was like, oh, this is exhausting. So I think that you have to first think of your goals. Like, what do you want your structure to accomplish for you? Or your hacks or whatever you want to use, and figure out something from there. Your goals have to be the central focus before you can think of all this other stuff.
Yeah, because I think it's easy to get like caught up in to-do lists and schedules and things like that. But that's a good point that if it's not working towards a goal, then like don't burn yourself even more out even more.
Right, because you're like adding something to yourself.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that you have to have sort of clear goals. And I think that's also structure or a hack anyway, as to, and I'm not saying goals like I want to become the CEO of my company by 2024, like not goals like that. It could be I would like to take care of myself, or I would like to incorporate healthy eating, or I would like to not leave my house with wet hair every day, Megan Garvey. Haven't figured that one out yet.
Or like in the like topic of like your children, like I want to get like a good nap schedule in so that I can maybe work out 30 minutes a day or whatever, or so that my child will hopefully sleep longer at night, so I need to be on top of it in the morning. But I think that's a good reminder too, since incorporating that into motherhood, of how everybody parents differently. And I think it's hard not to compare or think that someone else is right or wrong if it doesn't match up with the way you do things. But if the way you have something structured, if you're going for some kind of goal that isn't important to somebody else, then they're not going to parent the same way as you.
Right.
So it makes sense that that's going to look different.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that we can sort of both kind of talk about this because we do work with kids, we're not just moms. We kind of work in the fields where we are working with other people's kids, and maybe sometimes kids who have specific challenges or whatnot. And I think we've seen in real time that kids thrive on structure. Mm-hmm. And so, well, doesn't it make sense that one, they're going to strive with structure at home too, and also adults are going to thrive with structure as well. And so I think that being in this field has made me see that for myself just as much as it's made me seen it for either Eliza or my own students and stuff like that. Structure matters.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why I am looking forward to get back to work, because I need to get back into some sort of structure so I don't lose my mind. Even if I do have structure at home with a baby, it's still different than having a much bigger picture kind of structure.
And but I think also something, I think it's interesting to have the two of us talk about like a structure or routine kind of conversation, because I think we are, as much as we are similar when it comes to like this aspect, I think we're very different people. Mm-hmm. And so I think I just want to throw out there for people that like I'm coming at this with, yes, structure and routine, I thrive on it and it helps me. Am I naturally like that? No, not at all. Like when you were talking about parenting and like, oh, I have a different way of doing things, but you can't see my way of doing things. If you look at any like personal space of mine, on the outside, it looks like chaos. But for me, I can find exactly what you need. It is organized in my brain. But to everybody else, it looks like a huge mess. I think I've gotten like better with that, because what I've realized is that I have to compensate for myself with creating structure for myself, if that makes sense. If I create those structures or routines or whatnot, I don't feel as like untethered, and so my anxiety is less. I feel better. Like it kind of has like a trickle down effect to all aspects of my life when I am organized, or even just if my space is like clean, or but I just want to throw out there that I'm talking about structure, routine, organization, that kind of stuff, but don't feel like that's not me. I'm not the person who has like the like color-coded anything, or like the cereal and the cute containers or anything like that.
I don't have that either. I do think I get more of a reputation of being more structured and more organized, but I kind of am not. I guess it's like organized chaos in a way, but I do. I love my lists. I love my to-do lists. I love kind of have everything. I need to have a plan for everything. I appreciate having a plan. It's not to say that I don't like being spontaneous, because that's not true, but I appreciate having a plan. I like to know what we're going to do this weekend, because then I can plan how the rest of the week's going to look.
Yeah.
Where we need to put our energy, where we need, like, do I need to buy certain things when I go to the store next? Do I need to plan that shoot this day? Isla's going to have a car nap instead of a real nap. Like, we got to be ready to, like, go to war. Like, I need to have like something in place. So I am definitely more like that, and I thrive more off of strict structure. So, and I think that's also very much my style of parenting, in that I am that parent that like likes to read the books and the how-tos, and I am that parent that is really strict on wake windows and nap routines and like that, just that structure, because I have seen that it helps me and it helps my kids, and it just keeps, I think, things organized and like running smoothly. Whereas I think for other people that might like make them more anxious than anything, like trying to like stick to a schedule like that. And whereas me, it would give me anxiety to like not do that, because I like to, I guess, okay, it sounds negative when you say it, but like I like to have control over a situation. Right. I know that if I can control certain things, then
maybe a more positive spin on it, I guess, was sort of being like you're trying to foresee things so that you can navigate them, instead of just like, I don't think it comes from you like, I need to control everyone around me. I think it's you needing to be like, all right, I need to see the problem and make up a game plan so that I can.
Yeah. And I don't think of it as a negative thing. I think sometimes other people might see people who are like me. And I've heard it before. I've heard people say that like I'm too, you know, not control, like perfectionist and things like that. I fucking hate when people call me perfectionist. It drives me nuts, because I'm not a perfectionist in any way, shape, or form. I don't expect to be perfect ever. I just want, I don't expect to like have perfect results, but I want to do right things, if that makes sense. So like if I read like, this is the way you should do it, I'm like, okay, I'm going to try to do that. Do I think it's going to go perfect? Do I think I'm going to be perfect at it? No, but I want like to follow through with those things. Am I making any sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I see what you're saying. And I think that a lot of people, I am not, none of it resonates with me, but I don't think I've ever been called a perfectionist once in my entire life. But no, I think that makes sense. And I think a lot of other people resonate with that, is just because you like things done a certain way that works for you, that does not mean that you are acting like neurotic about it.
Right.
And that it's a bad thing. It's a good thing because it's giving you structure in your life, and that's how the best way for you to navigate mm-hmm. your stuff. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, there are people who are perfectionists, I guess, but.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a difference. Like, to me, in my opinion, like, a perfectionist is someone who expects to be perfect.
Yeah.
Where I don't expect to be perfect at all. I just want, and I don't even want to be perfect, because I want, like, my kids to see that the world isn't perfect. Yeah. But I still want to, like, I just have a certain expectation of how I want to try to do things, I guess, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
And that's not putting down.
Right. No, I'm saying, I think you also put a lot of work on the back end into doing that for yourself. And I think that that's an important point to bring up too, is that sometimes to create these systems for yourself or to make your life a little more stress-free, you have mm-hmm. to put the back work in.
Mm-hmm. And that's not to say people who like don't live their life to-do list like myself, like, aren't doing things the right way per se, but like, that's just how I like to do things the right way. Yeah, so if I don't have a list, I know myself too. It's all like mechanisms, like coping mechanisms for yourself, or like strategies that you've learned for yourself. Whereas I know that if I do not write something down, I will forget it.
That's what I was going to say. That. I'm like, I don't necessarily like to-do lists. And I did share a picture of my planner and to-do list on social media. I have to have a written planner mm-hmm. because if I don't do, and I've just learned this throughout my life, I have missed some homeworks in my life that didn't end well. But I have to physically write it down on paper and have it there in front of me to look at every day, or I will forget. I cannot put it in my phone. Mm-hmm. I cannot just remember things. Mm-hmm. And like a to-do list, I will forget to do something if I don't have it right in front of me.
Right.
I think you're right that a lot of like structure, routine, it's a coping mechanism, like, for me, for sure. Like
a strategy, I think, is like a better way to say it. Like, it's just like a strategy for yourself. You just learn how. And like, for me, it's one, I know that I'm going to forget it, and two, it helps me that if I'm like, if I didn't write it down, I'm like, okay, I really wanted to, you know, do, I have to remember to do this laundry because the kids are out of pajamas. And then if I don't write it down, then all of a sudden I'm doing something else and I'm like, the laundry, and then I get so stressed out that mm-hmm. I forgot it. Now the kids don't have pajamas, but I'm in the middle of doing something else, and maybe I can't stop doing that right now, and I know that if I don't go do it the second, I'm gonna forget again.
Right. Yeah.
And like, it just feels so good to have that on the list. I cross it off. And then also, if I have a list, I don't feel so overwhelmed because I'm like, oh, there's only 4 things on this list. But my head feels like it's spinning because I feel like there's so much to do. But when I write it down, it's only 4 things. And then I can cross them off. And then I'm like, sweet. Look how productive I was. So
that's actually a really good point that, to help you remember stuff, but also to like get it out of your brain. Because mm-hmm. then you can focus. I know when I write my to-do list or write something in my planner that I'm like, okay, I can do this then, or I could get these 2 things done during my planning period or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think getting rid of it is also like a good strategy. So it doesn't have to live inside of you.
Yeah. And actually that brings up one of the like little mom hacks that I had wrote down was to utilize your Alexa. If you have an Alexa, my favorite thing is to just be in the kitchen and then go to, you know, grab dish soap and shoot, we don't have any, just be like, Alexa, put dish soap on grocery, instead of having to go find a list, write it down, or put it in my phone if I'm in the middle, if I'm like holding a baby or mm-hmm. in the middle of trying to cook dinner with 2 screaming kids. Like, I can just, or if I need to remind myself to go, oh, I got to call the doctor tomorrow. Like, I just tell it to my Alexa and I don't have to do all those extra steps of going to find a pen and paper or go write it in my phone. Like,
set a reminder or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It just makes my life easier to like be able to just say it and get it out of the way. And like you said, get it out of my brain. That's what I need, is to just get it out of my brain, because then it's occupying space and it's making me stressed out because I'm trying to hold on to all this. Like, we talk so much about how we carry the mental load, and I feel like my mental load is insane. And so if I can just get a little bit of that load out into the world on an external, it's like an external brain for me.
Like external hard drive.
Yeah. My Alexa is my external brain. Who carries the mental load? His family? Me and Alexa. But it's helpful because then, like, that's a good way, I like that you put it that way, that, like, you just get it out of your brain and you don't have to hold on to that space anymore.
Because if you have in your brain, like, I have to do this, and this today, my day is just worse because that's all mm-hmm. I'm thinking about. Or if I write it down, mm-hmm. it's, like, the most simple thing. And mm-hmm. I'm sure that people from the beginning of time were like, hey, if you just write it down.
They're, like, chiseling things on the
page. Chiseling to a rock, yeah. Like, hieroglyphics are really just to-do lists.
It's like milk, eggs.
From all the Egyptian moms are like, do the laundry. I guess that could lead into something that I have sort of just started doing for myself. And this sort of connects with our episode a couple episodes ago about, like, health and wellness. But I also made a post about having imposter syndrome for a nice routine and structure that I have started to create for myself. So I have become a person that gets up and goes to the gym at 5 a.m. Ooh. And the first couple times I did it, I was like to myself, like, who the fuck are you to think they're going to go to CrossFit at 5 a.m. and like just being like, oh, you cannot keep this up. You cannot blah, blah, blah. But I think this is the routine that I have down the best now. I say this, I'm supposed to do this tomorrow. I probably will put it out there and then tomorrow it'll like turn to shit. Anyway.
How's the reading for 30 minutes a night going?
We're not talking about that. I'm like, I can't make it to book club. Sorry. Yeah, that one's not going well. But this one, I felt like such an imposter. But God, my day is just so much better. I feel mm-hmm. so much better. I actually get more accomplished in the morning if I just have this routine in place. And then, I mean, a lot of the driving force was that I had tried to, like, work out in the afternoon, like, evening. Then I just felt like I was losing time with Eliza. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm tired. Like, my body just doesn't move as well in the afternoon, which is when I worked out previously. I would only do afternoon and evening. But I also really didn't have a baby then, or it was summer. So that plays a factor. But so I've been getting up at 4:15 a.m., which I know sounds crazy. I've been going to bed when Eliza goes to bed. I get up at 4:15. I go downstairs, make myself a cup of coffee. The night before, I set out my workout clothes and I have my water bottle all ready to go. My shoes, socks, everything in my bag. I brush my teeth, put my hair up. And before I even realize that it is 4 something a.m., I'm out the door. And I go, I do it, and I come home. And Ryan and Eliza are usually either still asleep or just waking up. And then I have so much more energy to do all the other stuff that mm-hmm. any other morning I would wake up later and then also still not be able to get my ass ready and mm-hmm. then also be super angry about not being able to get my ass ready. Like, and then it just turns into this huge negative thing. But I think if, I mean, maybe like for you, it's not getting up and working out at 5 a.m. Maybe it's just I need to wake up before everybody else to just sit and have my cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. Maybe that could make all the difference for you in the morning. Like that's still a structure or a routine. Mm-hmm. I need to take a shower before everybody gets up so I can have my peace and quiet, so I can listen to a podcast, so I can mm-hmm. whatever. I think it doesn't have to be something like this. But I think that creating some kind of morning routine is really helpful. I don't have down, like, the getting ready aspect of a morning
routine. Yeah, your hair is still wet, huh?
Yeah. But the rest of it is good.
No, I can see that. I actually, what I'm doing right now is I am dropping Isla off at daycare and then coming home and doing my workout because usually mm-hmm. Red will nap then. And now I'm not going to be able to do that. And like you said, I don't want to do it at night when I only have a couple hours with my kids before they go to bed after daycare. So my plan is to try, I don't know, but I also have breakfast duty, so that's a lot on my plate. But my plan is to wake my ass up early yeah. before everybody else and go downstairs and do my workout from home. I'm not going to go to CrossFit, but do a workout and then I'll be up and ready and like hopefully maybe even have a coffee before people wake up.
Yep.
Will that actually happen? I don't know. I'm going to try. But I can see what you're saying. Like that gives you more – and that gives you like time to yourself, which we don't mm-hmm. – think about like before kids, like I used to like enjoy getting ready in the morning. I would always put a podcast or music on and I would, you know, sing and dance in front of the mirror while I'm getting myself ready. I put on a bunch of outfits. Like I really did enjoy that time. And now that time isn't for me anymore.
Right.
I am literally putting my makeup on and doing my hair as fast as humanly possible. Mm-hmm. My makeup and my hair don't look as good as they used to because I'm doing it as fast as possible. I don't listen to anything because then I'll wake up the kids if a podcast is – because my bathroom is attached to my bedroom where Ren is sleeping right now. So I'm literally like – I'm like placing my makeup so gently back on the counter.
Well, that kind of sucks. I'm lucky that our bathroom is downstairs, but
yeah. So it's not time for me anymore, and I don't even shower. I have to shower at night now, not even in the mornings, because I'm afraid they're gonna like wake up, or I'm gonna wake her up, or whatever. So, you know, that's not time for me anymore. So, like carving time out like that, like you're explaining, gives that back to you.
I'm not saying that I'm like, woohoo, it's 4 a.m. But I am saying that you can create a routine or a structure and not feel like an imposter about it.
Yeah.
And if it works for you and you like it, then freaking do it.
Yeah, I like that. That actually reminds me in a way. I know I'm kind of jumping ahead here because I wasn't planning on going over some listener responses till later, but someone mentioned that their best like hack per se was hiring a cleaning lady. And she was like, you know, I would never buy coffee again if I had to do that just to afford it. Like 10 stars, get a cleaning lady.
Yep.
I would never, honestly, at this point, I'm like, you know what? I would freaking love a cleaning lady, but that's just like not in my budget. Yeah. But I think that like kind of back to that getting just time for yourself, because I've actually messaged her privately to ask her more about it. And she was saying like, you know, it gives me a whole weekend day back with my family. I'm not spending a whole Sunday scrubbing my house anymore or being stressed out that my house
that
is dirty.
It's not scrubbed.
Because, you know, I work full time and I only have the weekends to do that. And that's also my only time with my family. And here I am spending it stressed about cleaning because I don't want to like have, you know, it roll over, which happens to me all the time. Like sometimes I'll be like, fuck, like when was the last time I cleaned my toilet?
Yeah.
I feel disgusting.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to put aside time on a Saturday to clean my toilet because I want to play with my kids and I want to go apple picking with my family or like do something. I know that's obviously not possible for everybody. That reminds me of just like getting some time for yourself, basically. Yeah.
And also like, I guess sort of, and this is something that I didn't, I thought of like after our health and wellness episode, I understand sort of like you and I are both talking about either like CrossFit or the Peloton or whatever. And I understand there's sort of like a privilege to that because not everybody can afford like nice equipment or a membership somewhere or anything like that. But kind of going off of like what you're saying about having like a cleaner come into your house, for us, we really do very purposefully budget for things that are health and wellness. So I just kind of want to put that out there too, that I don't know, like we're very intentional about that. If we weren't, then I probably wouldn't be able to have like a CrossFit membership, but that's where we put our time and effort into stuff. We each are able to like choose something that's health wise that we get to put in the budget.
That's a good point too, because I think that relates to what you're saying about like your structure needs to be purposeful to you and like be specific to your goals and your like individual specific needs, because we do the same thing. We have a monthly budget and we are very strict with our budget, but like if you make certain things a priority, then you're going, like you said, that's a priority to you, so you are going to try to make that work. But yeah, I think that makes sense.
Right. And I think I'm definitely not someone who should be talking about this, but even like financial structure is important. And if I didn't have Ryan, I'd probably be living in a studio apartment with lots of debt. I mean, I still have lots of debt because I went to school for creative writing. But I think financial structure, just like speaking of it and what you decide to spend your time or your money or your time, quite frankly, on, you only have so much of both things. And I think if you prioritize, that's kind of my best hack, is I'm happiest and least stressed when I am prioritizing things in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So I feel like we've talked a little bit about why we think structure and like planning your life for your personality and like style and goals and the importance of that. But we also wanted to dive into just like some fun mom hacks that people sent in or that we have figured out ourselves just from experience. Did you have any that you wanted to bring to the table? I have a little list.
How about you go first? Because I didn't come with a list.
Oh my God, this is a great example of our different styles here. Well, so I mentioned earlier, and I swear by them. If you are somebody who likes to follow a schedule, I swear by following wake windows. I don't know if you've ever seen, there's like a graphic that shows like how long a baby should stay awake based on how old they are. And the whole idea is that if you let them sleep before their wake window is up, that they're not awake enough during the day to like actually get tired enough to sleep through the night. But if you go past their wake window, then they're overtired. And that's when they get really fussy. And then you can't put them to sleep because they're like fighting it because they're just so overtired. We followed it with Isla and we followed it with Ren. And they're both really good sleepers. Now, this could just be complete luck. But I just could be blessed with two great sleepers. But I do think that they've made a difference for us when it comes to scheduling too and getting just my kids into like a good sleep routine. So,
well, I think even like awareness,
yeah,
stuff like that. I've definitely read those charts and been like, well, that's good information. Should I apply it? No, but I think it is a good hack to have that awareness and be like, oh, even if you just observe your kid's pattern and then you implement.
Yeah, because I think like what happens a lot sometimes is like babies are fussy and you're like, what the heck? What is wrong? I don't know what I'm doing, blah, blah, blah. Mm. And it turns out that they're actually like past their wake window and they're just tired. It makes a world of difference for us. It gives us happy, sleepy babies. But again, maybe I just was given happy, sleepy babies. So I don't want to jump to conclusions there, but it works for us. And I don't want to say happy all the time because we definitely dealt with the witching hour with Miss Ren. On the topic earlier about like saving money, of course, you all know that I formula feed. So I was mind blown when I realized this, which I think if you're a seasoned mom who formula feeds, you've probably figured this out already. But if you're a newer mom, the store brand formula is exactly the freaking same. Like if you compare the labels, it is 99.9% the same as the name brand formula. So for example, we feed Ren Similac Pro Advance. If I want to buy, it's a 30-ounce canister of that. It's $37. If I want to buy, if I go and get the Target brand of the same exact shit, it's just Target brand. It's $19.99 and you get 6 ounces more. It's 36 ounces instead of 30 ounces. It's insanely cheap. And if you go to, well, not cheap, you know what I mean? Cheaper. And if you go to Target, they always have deals that if you buy two of them, you get like a $10 or $5 Target gift card.
Or, and then you can just use it back for more formula.
Exactly. Or, you know, sometimes they have like buy $100 worth of baby stuff. So I'll stock up on diapers and formula and you get like $20 gift cards that you can just then go back and use. Also, on top of that, I recently started following because Megan shared one of her things. There's a woman on Instagram, I think she's called The Formula Mom. And she has this whole story reel about how store brand formula is the same no matter the store. So there's multiple stores that have the same formula. So I just recently learned that Target brand formula, which is what we buy, but it's 20 minutes away from our house, is the exact same thing. Like not even like, oh, it's close. Like, no, it's made in the same factory and just put in different bins. It's the same as Walmart, which is like 10 minutes from my house.
Closer. Yeah.
So now if I'm in Walmart or the other day, here I am. Look, see, this is why I need to write things down because I'm now going on a tangent and bringing up another topic. But another hack is, which many people I think already know this one, that if you have like diapers that you didn't open, like if we got a ton of diapers at Ren Sprinkle that we didn't open, like we got tons of size one diapers and she was done with them in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You can return them to Target or Walmart and get store credit. So I did that and I got $170 worth.
Wow.
I got 100 at Target and $70 worth at Walmart just for like.
That just shows how freaking expensive diapers
are. Isn't it? Holy crap. $70 was two boxes of diapers. I know.
I mean, I believe, yeah, that's true.
But I took that and I went, because I was at Walmart, I'm like, well, I guess I'll just get formula because I'm here at Walmart because it's the same exact thing as my Target formula. So just little like hacks on saving money and making it more convenient. If you do have to be, before I was thinking, crap, like I have to go all the way to Target. Like we're low on formula. We need it tomorrow.
Yeah. Like what are you going to do?
I'm going to drive all the way to Target. But no, it's just like, or if you're on vacation and there's only a CVS nearby, like CVS formula is the same thing. So
that's a really good, those are really good points. We pretty much use Target brand and everything because we, well, it's very close to our house and the Target Circle app. I'm a huge fan of like the apps for the stores because I really do sincerely think I save money that way. And I know it's kind of, it could be annoying, but I will look also at like groceries at a couple different grocery stores in the area to see what's on sale, and sometimes I'll either do like a pickup order for one and then go to the other, or sometimes I'll just run into both. I know it's like a little more time consuming, so you have to decide, do you want time or money? But that could be the difference of me maybe getting a Starbucks or just saving or whatever. So I like to kind of do that too. I think that's on the topic of like budgeting and money and stuff like that.
I feel like another one that I was really good at and I need to get back into it because I haven't been lately is rotating toys. Have you heard of that?
Yeah. I think that our problem is just that Eliza has grown out of all of her toys. But
yeah, Isla especially just had her birthday, so she got some new toys. And we have like this little bucket of toys down in our living room and then a bunch of her toys up in her room. And well, I've just noticed that the bucket in the living room, she doesn't dig for toys. She will only play with like the three toys that sit on top of the bucket. She never goes through the bottom of the bucket. So like we need to like take out some of the toys, like store them away, and then like every couple of weeks, every month or so, just flip out like which toys are out to play with. Like it saves you on space, it makes things like look and feel more organized, which then makes me feel less chaotic when things, if there's too much to be thrown everywhere, then
that's such a good point, because if you just have all of them sitting right there, then all of them are going to eventually come out of the bucket or the space or whatever.
Yeah, and then also like they don't get as bored because it seems like they have a new toy like every couple of weeks. And when there is too much to choose from, I think it's overwhelming for them and it's like too hard to make a decision, or they're jumping around from toy to toy instead of like actually engaging with what's there in front of them. So it's actually really, it's a really beneficial thing to do. It's just something I have to get off my butt and do.
We do that with Meadow. But we keep the basket out, and sometimes she just gets bored and we'll take out every single toy in her basket. And then you have 500 dog toys just laying around the house. And you have to go pick them up and put them back in the basket.
And then we feel like this has – I feel like this has helped us a lot now that we have two babies. And I know it's not always easy for everybody. But just taking time to, like, split, especially if you are, you know, parenting with your partner. If you're a single parent, this is really hard to do, I'm sure. But, like, split one-on-one time with each kid. Right now, it's more like – we get take turns having one time with Isla and the other person is hanging out with Ren. Obviously, when Ren's older, we'll go do like activities with her. 2 days ago, Phil was so pumped and he took Isla out for a date to McDonald's. And it was just like special one-on-one time with them. Sometimes I take her grocery shopping by ourselves and she like loves grocery shopping. So like we just get that one-on-one time and she needs it. I've noticed that since Phil went back to work and I have more days where it's just me and them alone. And unfortunately, I just can't give her that one-on-one as much on those days. Like, we see behavior spike. We see it just – it's rough. And I know it's hard because she needs that one-on-one attention. So doing dates like that, our plan in the long run is, like, once they're both old enough to really go out and do things, is that we each get a date with them once a month. So we'd, like, do one weekend where I'll take Ren to do something, Phil will take Isla to do something, and then – a couple weeks later, we'll switch.
Oh.
I hope we can keep up with that as they get older. I know that, like, life happens.
That's nice. But I think kind of off of that, something that has really helped Ryan and I is just kind of – I mean, obviously, we both equally do things like feeding Eliza or, like, changing her diaper or blah, blah, blah. But for the most part, especially morning or bedtime routine, we sort of have a – we each have a role. And like what we do. And he is just so good at bedtime. Like she just goes to sleep so much easier for him. And I don't know if she's just used to him being like her bedtime person. I mean, she will go to sleep for me, but he just, I don't know. He like will give her a bath and read to her and I'll clean up dinner while he's doing that. And then I come up and read a book with them and say goodnight to her, and then he, like, actually puts her to bed. And I just think that that, plus we also rotate nights that we get up, and that has just been, those kind of two things have just been kind of like life savers, because there's no question, not argument, but there's no like, are you going to give her a bath? Are you going to do this? Mm-hmm. Are you going to, you know, like, of course we share when we have to share and split and whatever, but it just kind of, I think even for her, she like associates, okay, mom's going to do this with me. Okay, dad's going to do this with me.
And right.
It makes everything smoother. So I think that that pre-planning is important.
I think that takes, because we do similar, like we rotate a lot. And mm-hmm. I think that takes out a big piece of resenting your partner. If yeah. you're like, I did the bath mm-hmm. three nights in a row. And yep. it's like, why aren't you doing it? Just takes that completely out of it, because it's just yep. a structured plan. Like, it sucks that it's my night doing bath. I really am exhausted, but that's just the way it is. Tomorrow it'll be his turn. And
yep.
I'll be able to chill out. And it's like nice knowing that it's not anybody's fault. It's just
right. That's the just that's the schedule. Yeah. Right. It's yeah, yeah. I think that that is probably the biggest benefit of it, is mm-hmm. that there's no resentment there.
Because mm-hmm. when you feel like things are all on you, which I'm feeling that lately, again, it's nobody's fault in this situation. But now that Phil is back at work, and I'm realizing now that I am the person who's going to have to get up every single morning and get these two kids ready and out of bed, like out of the house and to school, which has...
That's a lot.
It is a lot. And I'm getting the hang of it. And I've gotten down to like a pretty good routine. Of course, they're small kids and they throw me for a loop when Ren's like, ma'am, I'm up for the day at 4:30. On a Tuesday. Yeah. But like, it ain't easy. But like, it does make me a little it has nothing. Phil can't do anything. He's supposed to be at work before I even freaking wake up. Like, I feel bad for him. He's got to get up at freaking 4:00 in the morning to go to work. But it does make me a little like pissed off. Like, why am I the only one who has to sit here and do all this like really hard work, being able to split things that you can split or that you have the opportunity to? I think that's like a huge hack in itself, if you want to.
Right.
Truly think that the reason I feel so burnt out these last couple of weeks is because you've been way more is on me
alone.
So if you don't have like a partner to
that support, and I think kind of dividing and conquering early on is really helpful, so you don't fall into like a default, or even if you are starting to fall into like a default kind of thing, recognizing it and being like, okay, let's like take a step back. And I think you can even do that for just not even just kid related stuff, just anything like, in your relationship.
Yeah, that's very true.
I think the one, and this is like the most simple thing kind of ever, but I think one hack that works for me every single freaking time is just do the things that you're gonna have to do in the morning at night. Pack the daycare bag the night before. Mm-hmm. Set out the night before. Mm-hmm. Get breakfast ready the night before. Mm-hmm. Overnight oats is my new thing that I have perfected, but it's so easy, because then Ryan would literally make like eggs and stuff in the morning, every morning, and I'm like, why are you doing that to yourself? Like, we need to find something different. And mm-hmm. so I just think getting stuff ready the night before, there's never a time where I do that and I'm like, oh gosh, I wasted those 5 minutes last night.
Right.
It's always been like, thank God I did this. Mm-hmm. So I know it's like the most simple thing in the whole world, but that is so helpful for me.
I even write the daycare check for the week, like the night before, and just put it on the counter. But that's.
Because then you know inevitably if you don't do it, then in the morning – something's going to happen, or you're going to have slept 5 minutes too late, and then you're running around and blah, blah, blah. And there's nothing I hate. I think it's something that I'm really trying to work on is like the morning routine, because there's nothing I hate more than leaving the house being pissed off because the morning just went crappy and I'm late, which inevitably happens. And so I'm trying to be like more purposeful about morning routine, but doing it all the night before just is so easy that it's like, why haven't I been doing this all the time?
What about hacks that are not what you're supposed to do? I'm like, you know what my best hack for my morning routine is with two children? Is halfway through, I give Isla my phone. And she runs to her. She has like a little changing mat that we put on the floor. We like roll it out to change her butt in her bedroom. She literally will take the phone, run to the Matt, lay down. I get her dressed. She doesn't fight. She doesn't do anything. We get her dressed, and then I do her hair. There's no way I could never do her hair if she wasn't glued to a screen.
Yeah, yeah.
I do her hair. Rennie sits next to me. I go take care of the animals and feed them. And then I take the phone away and we leave. But like if I didn't give her that phone time for that last like end of our morning routine, mm-hmm. it'd be pure chaos. So sometimes you just do what you got
to
do.
Do what you have to do. Yep.
And that's my hack is screen time. Bring it to the doctor. I'm like, I'm over here like, make sure you follow your wake windows. And give your kid the phone.
Hey, it's life is about balance.
Exactly. I definitely do not want to give off this impression that I am perfect structure parent because
yeah,
I am not.
Who is, really? Is, and if you are, then your life probably sucks.
I'm going to read a couple of our listener input. Some of them were similar, like organization, lists, calendars, making sure like everything is decluttered. Like that's a good one. Like if clutter overstimulates you.
That definitely connects to our overstimulation one. But this is a long time ago. On the Instagram story, I showed my big closet makeover, which I did like two things. But the part of it that made it really helpful was get rid of, or if they're sentimental to you, put them in a box and put them somewhere else, but get rid of the clothes that you actually don't wear. Mm-hmm. If you only have clothes that you actually wear in your closet, or let's be honest, in your laundry basket that you haven't put in the closet yet, but if you only have those clothes that you actually wear, I mean, we're basically like cartoon characters. Everybody only has like a certain number of outfits that they wear all the time.
Right.
If you only have those out, then the morning you're not like, oh, I'll try to wear this blazer. And you're like, well, this fucking looks like shit. And then like, you're not wasting time doing that because you're like, I know what this stuff looks like. I have put it together before. Or even just like pieces that you know work mm-hmm. together. And then you just put it on and leave. Or if you're like me, you can throw it in the dryer because it's wrinkled. So it's in the laundry basket. And then you can put it on and you can leave. But for me, just having clothes, like I know it fits well. I know what it looks like. I'm not saying it looks great, but I know what it looks like. And like, I know it goes together. The end.
I feel like you're speaking to me because I think I actually have the tiny Barbie pink dress that I wore my 21st birthday in my closet that I will never wear again. I don't think my body could ever fit in that again, but also you would never catch me dead in that thing again. And why is it in my closet? I don't know. I should probably...
Well, I do have like a tub of clothes that were just like sort of sentimental to me that mm-hmm. are in my basement in a tub mm-hmm. that I probably are just going to sit there until Eliza's like, vintage.
Ooh, bodycon dress. So vintage.
Yeah. but they're out of my way. And so in the morning, it's not like overwhelming to look at all my clothes.
Yeah.
And that, because that's always been a problem for me where I have so many clothes that it's like, I just like clothes. Mm-hmm. And like on that with not being overstimulated by stuff. Think about like your closet and your wardrobe, maybe clearing out the clutter.
Mm-hmm. Because cleaning out your closet.
Yeah.
Anyways, this person actually very similar to yours of prepping meals the night before. Mm-hmm. Oh, and she even said the night before being home alone with a toddler and a newborn. Oh my God, that's genius.
That is. Forget going to work. You're probably more busy if you're
out. Seriously, though. Cool. Well, because on the days that I'm home alone with them, I don't eat. I don't have time to eat.
Right.
I literally mm-hmm. don't have time to make myself. Even if I pour myself a bowl of cereal, then I all of a sudden I'm holding a baby and that's not easy to eat. Like,
Yeah,
that's actually a really good idea. Like that.
That is a great idea.
And then like therapy, of course. Big fan of that. Going to the gym, writing in my journal, which I just got that new journal for me. So.
Those go like super well with just that idea of it's your structure. Prioritize and structure around the things that you actually know are helpful for you and that you like.
Yeah.
Not somebody else's structure just because that's what you see on TV or whatever.
I think that's like a good one to end on is one that we have here of like having mm-hmm. planned downtime for yourself. So like,
yeah.
I guess the gym isn't downtime, but it's like time for you. Or if you want to write in your journal or if you want to do your 30 minutes of reading a night, Megan, or or something like that. Like if you put it in your routine or on your to-do list or something like that, then it's something that you're going to prioritize. Whereas if you're like, oh, right. Maybe hopefully I'll get to working out tonight. Like, you're not going to get to it.
You're
if
not going
like,
to do that.
Maybe it's like at 5 o'clock when Isla's sitting down for dinner and I know that Phil's not going to have his hands full of both of them because she'll be busy eating, I'll go upstairs and do my workout. Right. Like if you like make a plan or write it down or something, mm-hmm. and that makes a difference.
And like an indigestible chunk maybe too. Mm-hmm. So like the 30 minutes of reading that I do every night. Or when I go to the gym, it's an hour, but it's an hour before everybody's up. So I've like finagled it.
Even if it's like after dinner, I'm going to leave and go get myself coffee. I'll be right back.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You say it out loud. It's on your plan. It's on your to-do list. Like,
yep.
Just taking that second for yourself. Or like, I'm going to sit outside and, read a book for 20 minutes. Like whatever.
Oh. Or I'm going to go lay on my bed and nobody talk to me for 20 minutes.
Yeah. I'm going to scroll TikTok for 20 minutes. Leave me alone.
Yep. Bye.
Yep.
Bye. For sure. Yeah. No, I think that's a really important one that you can't really talk about structure unless you're including yourself and your needs within it.
Yeah. I think that's a good note to end on.
Yeah. Me too.
All right. I feel like we touched on a lot this episode.
Yeah, I think we did. I think we expanded more than we thought we were going to.
Yes, for sure. I'm like, all right. So on that note, don't forget to reach out to us. We're still doing our monthly birth stories. It was so exciting having Victoria on last week. Again, we've had a few people reach out. And we have had people reach out that have been on the podcast before. So don't let that
scare you. Yeah, don't be afraid.
But I'm excited. We have some good stories lined up. And I think I just love listening to them. And don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, follow, like, and comment, participate on our polls.
Quit my job.
Yeah, Megan wants her job. Guys, we just want to be rich from the podcast. I don't want breakfast duty anymore. Damn it. Just kidding. I like my job. I don't want to get fired over breakfast duty. It's not that big of a deal. But yeah, make sure you participate. Every Thursday, we do a poll day on our Instagram, and we always get really good questions. They're always like either like silly or like really serious. We had one day where literally everybody asked a question about sex. And we haven't had a sex question since, I don't think. But it's fun. So make sure you participate. And we're always asking for questions or suggestions. And you guys are the literal reason I just went and bought a Ninja coffee bar. And so thank you for that. So... I appreciate you. And I used my Target Circle credit for that.
Oh, there you go.
I only paid $88 for that thing. Anyways, wow. I know. I digress. All right, guys. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye. Bye.